Well, I'm going to begin the message this morning by asking a thought-provoking question. And the reason I'm letting you know this is because it will be a question you will need to reflect upon. It's not a question that lends itself to coming up with a quick answer. And so here's the question. How well do you know God? Let me ask that again. How well do you know God? Now, what I'm asking isn't how much do you know about God. That's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking is how well do you know Him? And there is a difference. For example, let's look at the difference between knowing about a person in our nation's history versus actually knowing the person themselves. Let's say George Washington. If you were to go to the library or look on the internet, you could learn a number of facts about George Washington. You could learn about when and where he was born. You could learn about where he lived and the details about his family life. You could learn about his education. You could find out things he said and what many of his accomplishments were. You could learn a lot of information about him, in fact, but still not know him personally. Why? It's because you've never met him, right? You've never talked with him. You've never had any kind of personal interaction with him at all. And when it comes to a number of Christians' knowledge of God, that illustration actually describes their relationship with Christ. Sure, they may read and even know many of the Bible stories about God. And they may have listened to many sermons and even gone to church. And they may know that God is infinite and eternal and all-powerful and all-knowing and holy and good and that He is love. And so on. But yet, do they really know God personally? Let me ask you this. Since God is infinite and eternal and all-powerful and all-knowing and holy and good, and He is love and so much more, is it possible to know Him? When you think of the vastness of who God is. Is it possible to know Him? Has the quest of knowing God ever seemed like daunting, like a daunting and even almost impossible undertaking? The truth is, if we're honest, the idea of knowing God can actually seem unnerving or intimidating. I mean, think about who He is for a minute. Think about the vastness and that He's infinite. When you think you've come to the end of Him, that's just the beginning. If you've ever flown in an airplane on a clear day, picture looking down to the ground through the window. I remember the first time Dawn and I flew to a conference. Who knows what that first one was? We've done a number of now. But I remember looking down through the window because I wanted a window seat. And I was looking at the fields and how perfectly square they looked. And we flew over areas where I don't know if it was the Mississippi River, but, you know, you saw the winding river. And you could see it for miles. And we flew over mountains, and I remembered, you know, when I had actually driven through mountains and how big they looked, but then when you're in an airplane, they look like itty-bitty hills. From 30,000 feet, you could barely make out vehicles on the road. And and you were not able, we were not able to really see people with the naked eye. And as I thought about what I was looking at, and how many people actually exist on the earth, which is about 7 billion, a little more than 7 billion people, and how from that distance you can't even see their physical form, I remember how small and insignificant I felt as I thought about being just one of those many people that exist in this vast world. And yet it was incredible to me to think that God actually knows every single one of those people, including each one of us. However, that doesn't even scratch the surface of describing how vast and infinite God really is. Dawn and I have been down to the Creation Museum in Petersburg, Kentucky, a couple of times. Last time with Maria. And they have a room in the museum called the Stargazers Planetarium. And they have a show that you can watch on the ceiling of the planetarium that explains how vast our solar system is. But then they go on to explain that our solar system actually exists within a galaxy that we're a part of called the Milky Way. And then they begin to expand things and help you to see that our galaxy is just one of many galaxies that exist in the universe. And it's fascinating how they do this, and they literally magnetize, you know, I mean, they expand things, and it just, it's literally mind-blowing as we watch that video really on a ceiling like the earth, the shape of the earth. And they gave illustrations of just how far away these galaxies are, which you can't even wrap your mind around. And these galaxies are so far away, they have to talk in terms of how many light years away they are and give you some kind of reference point. And now light, if you don't know, light travels at the speed of 186,282 miles per second. Per second. Okay? But to reach some of those galaxies, or really any other galaxy, it would literally take thousands of those years traveling at the speed of light to get there. I looked it up, and it's the closest galaxy to us is the recently discovered Keynes-Morgan Dwarf Galaxy, it's called. And it would only take 25,000 light years to get there. So it would take 25,000 years to get there if you traveled at the speed of light, 186,282 miles per second. That's the closest galaxy. I think we have a big God. What do you think? Amen. And think about it. Not only does God exist outside of all of that space and time, He is actually the one who created it. And that's because God is self-existent, and He is infinite, and He is eternal. And yet our infinite and eternal Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this planet to enter a finite body like you and I have in order to reveal to us who God is. And then He died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin so we could know Him. Listen to what Hebrews 1 verses 1 through 4 says. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Of course, He was still outside of His own creation, right? He He was speaking to the prophets who were in his creation. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. That one I just described. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So as Jesus said to Philip, "Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He wasn't talking about his physical form. He was talking about his nature. Who he is, what he's like, and how he does things. That's what he was saying. Jesus was the exact representation of the Father, sustaining all things by his, here it is, powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. That is incredible. And what's incredible is this God knows the names of each and every one of the 7 billion people who live on this planet. And he even knows the number of hairs on their head. That is truly amazing. And also, we know that God knows us. You need to know that. God knows you by name and knows every detail of your life, even before it came into existence. Now wrap your mind around that one. And we know that Jesus Christ came to the earth to set us free from sin so we could know God, not just know about God, so that we could know him personally. But let's look at what else God says about knowing him in his word. Amen. We're going to look at a few passages this morning, beginning with Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24. Thus says the Lord, "Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me." That's what God wants us to boast about, knowing him. "That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." So here it is, even under the old covenant, it has always been God's desire. And honestly, Adam and Eve knew God the way God intended before the fall of mankind. They would be in the garden, and it says that they would hear the voice of the Lord in the breeze of the garden. You know, that the breeze, the breath, God is spirit. And yet somehow Adam and Eve, without sin being a wedge between us and God, were able to, without effort, commune and communicate and know God. That has always been God's plan. And even after mankind fell, that never changed. We see it here, that God's redemptive plan, even from the beginning, when he put into place a plan in motion to redeem this earth, the ultimate goal of it all is that we know him. We have relationship with him. That's the desire of the heart of God, that we have that intimate fellowship and union and communication and relationship. It's hard to describe, but it's the heart of the Father. It's the heart of the triune God for his people. We see in Hosea 6, 1 through 3, God says, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us." Of course, this is under the old covenant. This is the way they saw it. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day. Now, you know that's already prophetic, isn't it? Right? The third day, Jesus rose again. That we may live before him. See, that's that we may be. That's telling you what the rest of this passage was referring to. So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. I mean, Hosea's calling his people in that day. These were the people of God who'd turned away from God. And so Hosea the prophet was calling them back. But as a prophet speaks, a prophet often is speaking to his own generation, but the message he's proclaiming is also for future generations. It's amazing how the infinity of God like that comes out in his word. He's so multidimensional that God can be speaking to various generations all at the same time through one message. That's our God. And then in John, as we turn to the New Testament, John 17, 1 through 3, says, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come." So this is Jesus' last priestly prayer before he would be crucified and rise from the dead. And so he's saying, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all you have given to him. And this is eternal life." This is incredible. Listen, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Whew. Holy mackerel. I mean, it blows your mind, right? That eternal life is knowing God. I mean, that is incredible. Because if you're separated from God, you can't know him, right? So when you're reunited and you gain that eternal, because God is eternal, and you gain life back in him, you're reconnected to him. You now enter back into that eternal connection and existence. And the whole goal is to know God and Jesus Christ, the one he sent. To be back like Adam and Eve were before the fall. That's what God wants for us, to know him like that. That's a lot more than just knowing about him. Some historical bunch of facts about what he's done that we can read in the Bible. God wants us to go beyond the facts to know the way, the truth, and the life. And his name is Jesus. And then in Philippians 3, 7 through 11, we see the Apostle Paul's heart. May this be the cry of our heart. "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." He was talking about the gains he had as a Pharisee, as a religious ruler. But all of us can look at this world and think, what can be gained from this world? And yet, whatever we pursue, whatever we have dreams of, whatever we have desires and passions for, Paul's saying, I consider all of that a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I want to ask you that this morning. That ties into the question, how well do you know God? Is that our heart's cry and desire? To consider everything of this world a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For whose sake, Paul said, I have lost all things. Put yourself in this passage. This is where it gets real and the rubber meets the road. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings. Becoming like Him in His death, meaning I'm willing to lay my life down to all the things of this world, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. You got to just sit and reflect on that in its own right. What that looks like, what that means, what that entails. Do we know Christ? Do we know the power of His resurrection? Is it manifesting in our midst? And because we consider everything a loss, are there times when we participate in His sufferings? That we are not always popular. And when we're being the salt that we've talked about for a few weeks, and it causes a little pain in some of the wounds of this earth's sinly lifestyles, right? Salt inflicts pain. But salt also flavors food and makes it taste good for those who desire Christ. Because we know Him and we love Him. Do we have this as our first pursuit in life? So we see in these passages, the more than anything else, God wants us to know Him. Is that not incredible? The very God who is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, according to 1 Timothy 6:16, wants us to know Him. And in addition to that, He wants us to want to know Him. He wants us to know Him, but He wants us to want to know Him. Before anything else, that is the primary purpose for which God created us. It's to know Him. But now here's the $6 million question. How do we go about knowing God? How do we, as finite human beings, go about knowing the infinite and eternal God who dwells in unapproachable light? And again, I'm not just referring to knowing about Him. I'm referring to knowing Him personally and intimately. And I like the word intimacy because it can be described as into me you see. Can you imagine being able to peer in to the very person of God Himself and Him showing who He is to you? He wants to do that. He created you for that. He created you for that intimacy. That's why you're here. That's why we exist. How can we see inside of God's being and heart so that we know Him? I want to begin by looking at the way we actually first go about knowing another human being, because that's going to make it a little more simple to grasp, I believe. Think about someone in your life you know very well. How did you come to the place of truly knowing that person? Meaning, you know their personality. You know their likes and dislikes. You know whether they're a morning person or a night owl. You know their joys, and you know their heartaches. You know where they struggle, and you know where they flourish. You know what they're passionate about and what their dreams are in life. And it's not you just know that about them. You know that because you know them. So you don't just know details or facts about their life. You actually know that person. How did that happen? How did you come to know them that way? Well, first of all, we know it required spending time with that person. Would you agree? And as you spent time with that person, you began to become aware of the way they carried themselves and the personality that they had. And you picked up on those things that you could have never done if you had, one, never met them, and two, if you had never spent time with them. But the fact that you spent time with them, you began to see characteristics about their life. But even if you could do that, there's only so much you can know about a person by observation. Amen? So the next thing that was required is the other person had to be willing, while you were spending time with them, to disclose things about him or herself to you. They had to be willing to let you see into their life. And the more and more that was disclosed, and more you disclosed to them, the more intimate your relationship became. Meaning close. Now with God, He sees and already knows everything about us. Okay? So the factor of intimacy and closeness with Him is how much time we spend with Him so that He is able to disclose to us who He is. If we don't spend time with God, how is He going to reveal Himself to us? Amen? And so let me ask you then a few more questions. Was there a particular formula that you followed to get to know the person that you know well? I mean, did you follow the 4-step plan to knowing people? Right? I mean, do you think there is a formula we have to follow to get to know God then? You know, how many times do we do that? Well, in order to know God, I must, you know, I got to read this many chapters in the Bible, and I got to spend this much time in prayer, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, and we go through all these calisthenics, and that's how we get to know God. Do you think God sees it that way? However, would you agree that you do need to spend consistent, preferably daily, time with God, reading and meditating on His Word and talking with Him in prayer? Okay? But we need to not make it a formula, but a relationship. But the reason I take that time, or I get up in the morning, It isn't so I get all my parts of my formula done. It's so that I, as I'm reading, as I'm praying, as I'm communing, I'm spending time with God. All right, and then the next question is, how long did it take for you to get to know that person? Did it happen quickly? Did it happen in a day? Probably didn't even happen in a couple of months, did it? It took a lot of time. Spending time together to really get to know that person. And then over that time, trust was built and the person disclosed more and more about themselves to you. So the things that we must do to get to know another person are actually the same things we must do to get to know God. We must spend time with God. And as we do that consistently, God will disclose more and more of Himself to us. It's just the way that God communicates with us is through His Word and through the Holy Spirit as we spend time with Him. Right? We know with another human being, they have a physical body and they have vocal cords and they have a tongue and a mouth and air in their lungs. So we do it by conversing back and forth. All right? Well, we're physical with a spirit, but God is spirit. And His Holy Spirit dwells within us. Correct? And so the way that we're going to have to know God is by spending time letting the Word that was inspired by the Holy Spirit speak to us through the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit will, as we spend time in the Word, will reveal, will expose into the light that which we might not see currently. The Spirit of God will begin to work and speak and move in our hearts as we spend time with God in His Word. And we pray. We see in 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 12, it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit." So he was talking about those prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit. No eye had seen or heard, or had it ever entered their heart, the things that God prepared for those who loved Him. But now, the Spirit of God is here, right? And so God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit, listen, searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Is that incredible? That's what God wants for us. And so in the context that we've looked at this morning, let me ask it again. How well do you know God? The reality about our relationship with God is that growing in Him and knowing Him is actually inexhaustible. There's always more to know about God because God is infinite and eternal. And since He is, we should see that as an exciting endeavor. That we can come before the living God and we can present ourselves to Him and call out to Him and seek Him and hunger for Him and thirst for His Word and desire to know Him. And that, you know, no matter what happens, there's always more to know about God. You know, the people that we know, we get kind of familiar with them, don't we? We get kind of familiar with them. And sadly, what happens when that occurs is we start getting bored with a relationship. How many divorces happen in this world? Because people get bored with their relationship, their marriage. Unless a person understands covenant with God, marriages both inside and outside the church are breaking up all the time because of familiarity. You know, there comes a point in our relationship with God, we can become so familiar with what we have learned about Him that we lose the fire and the passion and the desire to know Him more. That's something we have to guard against. That's something that the enemy is going to try to take advantage of. Do you ever find yourself just being bored with the idea of spending time in God's Word? I mean, if you do, it's because you're looking at it as a formula, not as a friendship. Not as, this is my opportunity today to keep going after. And let's be honest, even as we're developing natural relationships, you don't always learn something new about someone. Even in the early stages of a relationship, you don't learn something new about them every time you get together, right? You just enjoy what you already have learned about them and that you have that relationship and that there's significance in your closeness. That you know, there's just times Dawn and I can be driving in the car and we don't say a word for miles. But just the fact that she's with me, there's joy in that. There's a sense of connection. You know, there's going to be some days where we're in the Bible and it doesn't, wow, you know, we didn't get the latest and greatest download from God. Right? But the very fact that the God of heaven is in you and wants to be with you and you have an opportunity to express your heart to Him and love for Him and what you do know of Him, what He's already revealed to you. Sometimes you need to go back and ponder what God has shown you and say, thank You for what You did here and what You showed me, Lord, and that I know this is true because You showed me this about Your heart for me. You showed me this about Your heart for people. You showed me something, you know, whatever that something may be, about where You want to take me. And when God reveals to you things about Himself that will put you, what it will do is it will put you in awe of Him. When God shows you something of who He is, you're not going to go, well, that was kind of nice. It will cause you to stand in awe. It will often bring you to tears. It will overwhelm you with a the sense of awesomeness of what and who he is. Really who he is. And when we stand in awe of God and what he shows us fills our hearts, it gives us the desire to worship. Folks, that should be our response to God. That you, Lord, are beyond what I could ever have thought. And I just stand and wonder, and I thank you, and I give you glory. You are worthy. You are God. There's none like you. There's no one that has or is what you have and who you are. And knowing him will cause us to reflect on who he is through our own life, what he's doing in us. And it will help others as we reflect him to come to know the awesome God that we know. That's what God wants. When we know him, he wants us to reflect him so that others will come to know him like we know him. And if we don't find ourselves having those desires rising up in our heart regularly, could it be we need to spend time with God and pursue intimacy with him and allow him to reveal something about himself to us? If you're here this morning and you've never met Jesus, but you've heard some things about him. One of the things he wants us to know is he wants to have a relationship with us. And as you heard earlier, that's why he came to this earth in the first place. All mankind has been separated from God through sin. We disobeyed God. All of us have done it. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, spiritual separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God wants us to be reconciled back into a relationship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can know him. If you're feeling a pull in your heart today because there's this desire you find rising up that you want to know God, the reason you're feeling that is because the Holy Spirit is letting you know God's desire is to have that same relationship with you. All you have to do is say yes to his invitation, the Lord's invitation, to come into relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. And the way you do that is simply confess with your mouth and say, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Bible says if we will do that, then we will be saved. Meaning we will be reunited with God, with our sins washed clean. And we will now meet Jesus for the first time. And that will begin the relationship where we can then begin to know God. Amen. If that's you this morning, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to this earth because the Father sent you. And I thank you that you want me to have a relationship with you. I come today admitting that I have sinned and I have broken your standards, which separated me from you. But I now turn from my old way of thinking, and I confess today that you are the Lord of my life. I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead. And so I ask you to come in and be my Savior and my Lord. And let me know you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.